Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What is up, everybody? Glad to see you on this Monday night. Usually not live on Mondays. That's okay. Appreciate you being here nonetheless. It has been a long, not 24 hours, a long 30-ish hours. We got in. Hey, Dad and I got in about 2 a.m. This morning, and I was down here before 8, so long day, very tired, doesn't matter. I'm happy to be here with you guys and just really thrilled about everything that happened today, all of the responses that we've gotten from all of you, all of the coverage, all of the stuff that I'm going to bring you throughout the week. It was a really rewarding day, and I'm glad that you guys are here for this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I really appreciate you guys. I am looking out at, I have no idea what those buildings are, but there are windows ahead of me. I wanted to do it in the big room, but they turned all the lights off, so I'm just sitting at our table on Radio Row, and let's get to it. Please follow me, by the way, social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. If you're listening in podcast form, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just search my name and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, do not forget to hop on over to your favorite podcast app, Spotify, Apple, whatever, and search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And the Rebel Report's coverage of SEC Media Days is brought to you by the Gregory Law Firm. Personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. Saltillo, Mississippi. DJ Gregory and the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. The phone number, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Do not delay, guys. Call DJ today. Uh-oh. Did you lose my video? Ah, okay. When I switched over to DJ's page, that's what happened. But DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi, personal injury, small business, contract disputes, check him out there. So obviously, there's a lot of reaction. I want to hear from you guys what you thought about today. I have a few thoughts myself of what happened. So you will hear tomorrow my interview with Jared Ivey and Trey Harris. I can't decide if I want to post them separately or on the same day. We'll see. Anyway, I got to talk to both of them individually, so that will be posted on the channel tomorrow, sometime tomorrow. Also sat down with Michael Katz, who does an excellent job of covering Ole Miss for the Daily Journal. We had about a 20-minute conversation just recapping the day. That'll get uploaded for you this week. Got a few more guests coming as well, so be on the lookout for that. But let's start with what I saw, what I heard, what I thought about today. First of all, I know this doesn't mean anything, right? Like who you bring to SEC Media Days and what they say is, when it comes to players, not impactful, right? What they do on the field is going to matter. But for whatever it's worth to you, Ole Miss could not have possibly chosen better. This is my 8th SEC Media Days, I believe. I think it's my 8th one. And they've always brought good players. They've always done good things. This year stands out to me more than any other, not just because of, you know, they were nice guys. They were articulate. They gave, you know, good answers. They were very intentional. They very clearly were not – I'm sure they were coached, but the answers felt truly genuine. Like they didn't have to be coached. Like it came from them. They were so impressive, all three of them, all day long. That was the sentiment around here was Dart and Ivy and Harris. Not only were impressive, are good football players. They're likable guys, but intentional and thorough. Their answers caused you to want to listen to more. You get in settings like this, you get a lot of guys that are like afraid to say things or don't say much. And they've been over media trained by the SID and told, don't say this, don't say this, don't say that, you know, and it becomes very boring. And frankly, there are some guys that'll come through here that are a waste of time to talk to. I hate to put it that way, but that is how it is sometimes. And the three guys that Ole Miss brought today were the exact opposite. Articulate, intentional, thorough. This was a very good day when it comes to that for Ole Miss, for sure. So I know that doesn't mean anything, but that I was really impressed by the three of them. I knew they were going to be good. They were the guys that we talked about that I would have brought had I been given the opportunity, but they exceeded my expectations without a doubt, and exceeded a lot of people's expectations today. So good on them for that. I'll start with Kiffin and then work through a couple of things with the players as well that I saw. Then we'll get to your comments. First of all, for Lane Kiffin, it was very clearly a pretty difficult day. It was raw, is the best way that I could describe it, and emotional. And how could he not be, right? I mean, he just lost his father, who, if you listen to his press conference today and the way he talked about him and talks about him, clearly demonstrates that there was something extremely deep. One of those special father-son relationships, and it is understandably so, clearly still impacting him, and you could feel that today. And it was a different side of Lane Kiffin that you really don't get to see very often. Now, there was a lot of football discussed as well, but Greg Sankey, when he introduced Lane in the room right behind me, kind of like almost like got it out of the way. And then Lane's first few minutes where he just kind of addressed it and was like, you know, this isn't the place to carry on this conversation any further. You know, we're here to do a job. He gave an anecdote about how his dad would say, you know, you got a job to do, so do your job. There's no time for anything because the job is here to be done. And that was, you know, kind of his message today. But it was very clear that he's got a very heavy heart, and it's still weighing on him. So it's the human side of this that, you know, we don't get to see very often. We don't get to hear very often. They're football playing robots. They're football coaching robots. There's no time for emotion because, you know, you got games to win. But that was not today. And there was a human side of Lane that you don't get to see very often. And clearly, understandably, he's got a very heavy heart. And that was something that I noticed throughout the day and in the interviews. And look, he loosened up a little bit and had some fun and said some things about Nick Saban, very good things, but, you know, had time to joke as well. But it was definitely it was definitely a somber day for him. A few things that he talked about, though, I mean, he mentioned it and the three players mentioned it. They are not afraid of expectations, but it's more than just acknowledging the fact that, you know, they should have a good team this year, right? Everybody's talking about it. We talk about it all the time. The expectations around this team are through the roof. Number one, portal class, veteran quarterback. You guys know all the drill. It's not that they know that they have expectations. It's how they're addressing it. It's not – they're not, like, exciting themselves over it. They all four of them today are clearly products of a program that takes an approach, and it feels professional. And by professional, I mean it feels very NFL. Lane Kiffin talks about the NFL. He talks about it on the podium today, where the NFL does this, this, and this right. Part of me wondered if he's got his eyes set on the NFL, which basically every coach does. But these guys sounded like professionals today. There wasn't, oh, man, yeah, I'm so excited. And it was, yeah, no, we understand. You know, we have a lot of veteran guys, but there's a whole lot of work to be done. You know, we haven't won anything yet. That's the kind of stuff that they're saying. That's the tone that they're taking. It's very professional. They don't sound like college football players. They sound like guys that have been in the league for 10 years. It's the same, but it feels genuine. It doesn't feel forced. It's, you can see the approach that they have taken within their program is wearing on, in a good way, the players. So they are not only embracing expectations, they are talking about them, but they're doing it in a way that sounds like NFL players haven't won anything. That, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, have to come together as a team. It's not, they're acknowledging it without hyping it. They know it's there. They talk about it. They embrace it, but they know that they haven't won anything yet. It's very interesting. If you listen closely, I mean, I'll post the interviews tomorrow. I think you'll hear what I'm talking about as well. If you even just read the transcripts of Jared Ivey and Trey Harris and Jackson Dart, it's very intentional. They are well aware of what the expectations are. They're well aware that they can get there, and they're well aware that that's not going to happen on its own. It's very interesting for sure. Lane Kiffin acknowledged the lack of length and size is the way he described it. He called it a length and size issue. He was asked about the Georgia game last year. But what should encourage you guys is he said, quote, "I think we addressed that. I think we'll look better coming off the bus." Nick Saban actually shared those sentiments as well. He was on the set, which, by the way, Nick Saban's going to do a phenomenal job, an absolutely phenomenal job. He is a great addition as a television analyst to the college football media space. Quite frankly, there's not enough of what he's going to bring to the table, and he'll be an awesome analyst. But he gave his picks for the SEC championship, picked Texas and Georgia. Those are mine as well. But Saban said, you know, but Ole Miss has a legitimate chance here. They're going to look like an SEC team on the lines of scrimmage. And that was echoing what Kiffin said. They know that they had an issue. We know that they addressed that issue in the portal, but Lane Kiffin straight up said he believes that they have rectified that issue that was so apparent in the Georgia game last year. He also, just like last year, talked about how, you know, the goal this offseason is camaraderie. You know, getting the guys to come together and become a team and be accountable to each other and those kind of things. Because he made reference to, he loves making the NBA comparison. The super teams haven't always worked out. You put these great players together, but if they don't come together, other than just wearing the same uniform, it fails. He's like, you can sign the number one transfer portal class, but if they don't learn to embrace their role in the team and the institution, then it's going to flop. And so that's such an area of emphasis. He talked about it going into last season. It clearly worked out in 2022. At the end of 2022, it went wrong. It went south. I don't know if they figured out a secret formula, or they've been more intentional about how they approach the camaraderie component of building a football team. But it's very similar to what we heard last year. You can have great players, but it doesn't matter if they don't care about each other. Asked Trey Harris about it today, and he just said, like, during the course of the game, he and the wide receivers, if one, you know, catches five passes in the first quarter, the other guys are like, man, go get more. You know, the selflessness that it appears that they have should be encouraging, but that's something that they are apparently working at every single day. On Jackson Dart, first of all, Jackson Dart was built for a setting like this. He was exceptional. Lane Kiffin had a very interesting quote about Jackson Dart. Asked about where he needed to improve going into the season, and he didn't say that he was perfect. He was like, no, you know, not really worried about improvement. And he said, you know, protect the ball, stuff like that. He's like, no, there's not really much that he needs to improve on. Mentioned that his son Knox is putting together like a NCAA football video game tournament tonight. And he said if there was a leadership category, Jackson's would be a 99, that's where he thrives. And didn't call him a perfect quarterback, but seemed to be very satisfied with where he is in his development physically, but really kept going back to 99 leadership. That is where that's his biggest strength. Also made reference to he could be a coach one day if he wants to. That relationship has changed rather dramatically, it seems, over the last couple of years. But that quote stood out to me. Trey Harris, he was awesome. You guys will hear that tomorrow. He's confident, but not egotistical. He has a really good balance of, I know how good I am, but I can get better here. I can do this better. I know that it's a confidence, but it's not an arrogance. He was really, really impressive. He's not under the radar anymore. He used to be, but he's not now. Everybody, I mean, there's tables all around. Did a bunch of interviews today, and everybody's asking about Trey Harris. Is he that next Ole Miss wide receiver like DK and AJ, et cetera, et cetera? I think he is, and a lot of people here think he is, but talked about how he and Jackson and the receivers have done some out-of-state work already, and they're going to do it again here really soon, and told me that route running is something that he needs to polish this offseason as well. A few other things that came up. Kiffin was asked about Deion Smith, and his answer was, I don't know. And there's one of two ways that you could take that. You could take that as him just kind of playing coy, because why do you need to tell people if he's, you know, going to be available or not? But when he was asked if he's going to be there for the start of season prep, his answer was, I don't know. As you guys know, we've talked about it a lot. It's hard to believe in the reliability of somebody that cannot simply get academics in line. How can you trust someone to learn this offense as quickly as they're going to need to and be able to play it at a high level if this kind of stuff is still lingering? And again, maybe it's been taken care of. I don't know. But the fact that it's taken this long to get to this point and you still have Lane Kiffin saying, I don't know, is just another reminder that when you're talking about wide receivers at Ole Miss, there's at least three, maybe four, because Caden Lee got brought up today as a guy that nobody's talking about by Jackson Dart, as a guy that nobody's talking about that people need to talk about. There are a handful of other receivers that have been at Ole Miss that you know will be there, that have been more productive at a higher level, that you need to talk about first, in my opinion. So, great day for the three players, especially a somber day for Lane Kiffin. But all in all, you heard everything that I think you wanted to hear. They know what's on the line. They know what the expectations are. They are not running from them. They are embracing them. And it's just up to them to fulfill what this team's potential is. We'll see if they can, but all in all, a good day. Want to hear what you guys think about what happened after I Tell You the Podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. Tell them what you need, what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Where's Pat? Yeah, I don't know where Pat is. He finally showed up, but I was early, Pat. So I just want you to eat crow on that one. I was early tonight. You say my Twitter's been inundated with election things that you couldn't care less about. What I miss? I hope that was a decent enough recap for you. Edward, it was great to meet you too, man. It was great to meet you too. Hope you had fun and saw and learned some things. And it's a little intimidating at first, but the more you come, the more you'll get comfortable and enjoy it. Thank you for being here, Craig. I appreciate you, man. Thank you. To you, the SEC Media Days is the start of the preseason. Certainly feels that way. I don't think that they start training camp for like another week, but things are going to start happening very, very quickly. Let's see. We are I've got to pull it up because I don't have the exact number. The days away from kickoff number. Let's see. So we are what? 47 days? Is that right? Because we're 45 days until the first Thursday, the big Thursday. So 47 days away from kickoff. It's going to move fast. People forget Home Run Derby's tonight and the Open is this week as well. Who's my pick? I have no idea about the Derby. Frankly, I couldn't possibly care less, although I did see the national anthem that was awful. But no, I won't watch a home run derby. I don't even care. I'm not against it or anything. It's just Major League Baseball is not grabbing me at all right now. It's just not, especially with the Open that you mentioned. Who's my pick for the Open? Colin Morikawa is going to win this week. But between that and then the Olympics coming up and you've had Copa and the Euros, and there's just other stuff that has grabbed me more. Great content. I appreciate you, man. Trey and Jared are exceptional. So is Jackson, too, with Richard. But, man, I keep saying it. I keep repeating myself. But those guys were intentional and not just articulate, but intentional. That's a word I'm going to keep using. I was very, very impressed by them today. You could tell Kiffin was still shaken from the passing of his dad. He handled himself well. He really handled himself well today. You absolutely could tell. And I mean, you know, those stories, you can tell that there's more juice behind that than just, you know, that very clearly a deeply important, obviously. I mean, it's his father, but it very clearly was impacting him today. I don't know how he got through it. I don't know if I'd have been able to so shortly thereafter. I mean, having to walk around and, I mean, having to sit next to Feinbaum and do all that stuff. And it's just, it's a long day. And it's a long day of answering the same questions over and over and over again and just being told where to, you know, nobody should feel bad about coaches having to talk to people like me. But I don't know if I'd have been able to get through today, the way he seemingly got through today and handled himself well. Knox was around here too. Kid's growing up fast, my goodness. But anyway, I'm throwing off your entire weekly schedule now. I know. Did not get in until 2 a.m., so could not go live with you guys last night. I have, as you guys know, I have a deep fear of flying. Two flight attendants made fun of me on the flight from Houston to Dallas, two of them. And one of them called me a word that I don't even want to repeat here. It was funny. Hate I sure got a kick out of it. But anyway, so we'll be back, by the way. I'll be back on Thursday. We'll go live Thursday night. So we'll be right back on schedule starting Thursday night. I will post videos tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll go live Thursday, and hopefully I have more for the weekend as well. I thought last year's players were very good, but this year seemed to stand out. With all due respect to the guys that came last year, it was different, significantly better. And last year wasn't bad by any stretch. This was different. Shout out to the Texas media asking all their dumb questions to everyone. Man, That drove me nuts. If the coach is playing Texas, ask him about Texas. If the coach played Texas last year, ask him about playing Texas last year. Why Lane Kiffin was getting questions about Texas? What's he going to say? I mean, just, you know, the league's really good. And he also kind of gave us a little insight. He wanted divisions to stay. Kiffin said today that he wished that there still was an East and West. But I mean, he's not playing Texas this year. What do you, they want everybody to just kiss Texas's rear end, I guess. Here, coach, tell me how great the program that I cover that you're not playing this year is, you know? Didn't like that part about today. Love my commentary on sports talk about what Sankey said about sports connecting us all in this crazy world. Yeah. You know, when Sankey in his address today brought up the assassination attempt. Now my video is going to get demonetized because I said that word, but the algorithm does that. It, like, the AI pulls words. So if this video gets taken down, that's why. When he brought that up, I thought, this is interesting. Where's he going here? And I really liked what he had to say about it, honestly, about how, you know, the example that sports shows that we can be united despite differences. What I said, for those of you that don't listen to the radio show, is, you know, people often refer to sports as a distraction from everyday life. And I think that that's not the best word. I think it's an addition, not a distraction. You know, spend all week here and every day talking about sports, and they're incredibly important to my life. But, you know, that's what my dad and I bonded over. It's what we still bond over. It didn't distract us from stuff going on. It made the stuff going on easier. We found joy in something. So we weren't distracted. We found something that gave us joy. And I liked what Sankey had to say today about that sports show us that we can collectively find joy in things together. Thought it was well done. Say Sankey was really good today. He was really defiant about conference expansion. He got three questions in a row and just hated them. I mean, he did not want to talk about conference expansion at all. Was incredibly defiant about it. Kept saying that he's focused on 16. I mean, it certainly sounds like, you know, based on talking to people and overhearing conversations and reading the reporting and stuff like that, that the SEC doesn't want to expand, that Clemson and Florida State suing to get out of the ACC is not because the SEC is like, please do that. Come here. We want you. Please come. Please do that now. That's not really what's going on here. It does not sound like they want to move past 16 yet. Maybe they do down the road, but that's not the desire today. He was very defiant about it. Doesn't mean that they're not exploring those options. I'm almost certain that they are. Just I have no inside on that. Just logic would tell you that they're not going to get caught. They're not going to get blindsided by the possibility of conference expansion helping somebody else. I'm sure they're talking about it all the time. He was very defiant about that concept, though. Couldn't imagine losing my father and a week later being in this setting with interviews about that loss. Much props to Coach. Absolutely. Glad they addressed it up front and didn't have questions be asked from the media about Monty. Yes, Greg and Lane both did a very good job of like setting it up, talking about it, addressing it, and just not pushing it aside because it's the most significant thing, but putting that away for now so I can just talk about football and not talk about that for a period of time. It was well done. Lane's right when he says the hype essentially means nothing. It's all talk. They have expectations and they sound like they want to go to work. They want to go work hard and achieve them. Yeah. And they all echoed that sentiment where it's, I don't want anything. Yeah. Expectations are cool, but so what do they mean? They mean literally nothing unless you can actually live up to those expectations. Lost count of how many times Kiffin said free agency today. Yeah, look, I don't know if I should bring this up or not, but I did kind of, my ears raised a little bit when he said the phrase, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something like, and the NFL's just got it figured out because the NFL's got it all figured out. That sounds like somebody that really, really likes or would really like to make that their next coaching destination, which I believe, I have believed for a while that that's the next stop for him. I think it's an NFL job, but that stood out to me a little bit today. Say Saban's going to be amazing in the booth. Can't be mad about all his football, and you can't be mad at all about his football mind providing commentary. And the thing is, it's not just that he knows the game. He is he's very comfortable already on television. That stood out to me is he's already, I mean, because he's done it before, right? But in this setting, like there's still that sense of humor there, but it's sense of humor and confidence and comfort while also being the smartest football mind, but not coming off as like, I know more than you. He's already very, very good at it. And college football is really lacking on the national level. Somebody like him that provides thoughtful, detailed commentary. That ESPN doesn't have that right now. Not really. Him on the game day set is going to be a major upgrade. so fired up for the season. The defense will provide the offense more than enough opportunities to get into the college football playoff this season. Loved the comment about the 99 overall leadership for Dart. That's what you want in your quarterback. He's got a lot of swagger, but also that competitive edge. Hearing other players talk about him is the best indication of who he really is, because it's not fake. I'm telling you guys, the most impressive part about today, I keep repeating myself, but whatever. I've been talking all day. I'm running on fumes. I don't even know where I am right now. The most impressive part about today was the authenticity of everything that was said. It wasn't manufactured. When you asked Trey Harris about Jackson Dart, it wasn't, yeah, me and Jackson have a good relationship and we work hard. It was, man, Jackson's my dog. Like that's my guy. I would do anything for that guy and he would do anything for me. Like we're tight like that. It wasn't, yeah, you know, we're on the same football team and he's the quarterback. It was, that's my guy. Like there's deep relationships being built on that team right now. And it's obvious when you hear people ask, or when you hear people answer when they're asked, am I buying Caden Lee more than Aiden Williams? 100% right now. Absolutely. But when the quarterback speaks about one by name, I think that means something. Have enough receivers, but could use Deion Smith. Yeah. And that's the thing about him too, is they don't need him. It would be great if he's available. It'd be great if Kiffin's playing Corey and like it's all good and they've got it all figured out and he's available and getting ready for the season and all that. The good thing is if he's not, it's okay. Not somebody that was expected to start unless Juice Wells is not healthy still when the season begins, although I guess he's progressing well. But they don't need him. They're good at wide receiver. There's some depth there. The three starters are in a really good position to be really good. So that's fine. That makes this whole saga far less meaningful. And it's something that I don't talk about as much as other people do, because it's like, you got Trey Harris, you got Jordan Watkins, you got Juice Wells. They love Caden Lee now. I mean, you've got these guys already. So it's all good, you know? As someone who's been on the other side of a sport player trying to become academically eligible, it's not that hard. There are so many things in place to ensure the academic success of athletes. You just hope that Lane was playing coy and it's all good. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I know it, because I don't know. But anyway. Oh, yeah, definitely learned a lot. Met a lot of great people. Awesome, man. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. You should not have talked to Haydad and complimented him on his podcast. What is wrong with you? Do not do that again. Never do that again. There's a narrative that spring ball doesn't matter. When do practices start mattering? I don't know. I mean, there are some coaches that think it really, really does. I imagine Jeff Lebby really wanted that spring work this year for a lot of reasons. I don't know. I don't know which practices matter more or not. I think it's probably really safe to assume that training camp is more meaningful than spring practice. Training camp is probably the most important practices they have during the season, especially at Ole Miss. They really scale back, and it's a lot more game planning and stuff like that, as opposed to they're not knocking heads on Wednesday before they play LSU, you know? So I don't know. Maybe training camp is the most important. Probably is. You're all in on the Kiffin NFL job path. I think that's exactly where this is headed. What job would be coming open in the league this year? Let's look. Let's go through it. The Saints are certainly possible coming open. That is definitely one. If Dennis Allen doesn't figure it out, then they will be looking for a coach. They will be looking for an offensive coach, considering Dennis Allen would have failed in that scenario. Let's see. Who else could be looking for a coach? Arizona, maybe, but I don't know if they'd go down that road again. Sean McVay might retire, so the Rams could be looking. The Colts, that's a good one. That's a good one. The Eagles, if they underachieve, although Philly, I don't know if Philly's the job that he would want. Dallas very likely to be coming open. The Jets very well could be coming open. You guys know the NFL. I mean, there are coaches right now that you wouldn't even think are on the hot seat that'll get fired at the end of the year, because that's just kind of how it goes sometimes. But as you hear me say all the time, the quality of life as an NFL head coach, the stakes are higher, but you have a real offseason. You're working with professionals. You don't have to recruit, stuff like that. Well, nobody would go to St. Louis. They don't exist. They're in L.A. now. Ole Miss in general, not just Lane like it usually is, seemed to take this day by storm, even with LSU here. Speaks to the impact the program is having since they've built to this point. Brian Kelly had some interesting things to say today, didn't he? Kind of took a shot at people that use the portal, said that people get their high-end players in the portal because they can't recruit well enough in high school or develop well. And I thought that is fascinating coming from a coach that desperately needs defensive line help, and Walter Nolan and Princely Umanmielen would be the two best linemen on your team. Not, I mean, bar none. Both of those guys could play and start basically anywhere in college football. So maybe you should consider trying to get guys like that, because this LSU team is lacking guys like that, and that's why they're not going to make the playoff this year. So Kiffin being the coach of the Cowboys is not something you'd like to see. Why? Because they'd actually start winning? Kelly seemed to bristle when he was asked about expectations. Yeah, to Brian Kelly's credit, last year he was honest about what his team was going to be, and that's what they were. He really waffled about expectations. Really waffled about it. And makes me wonder if he's kind of telling the truth again, like he did last year. Kiffin to the Saints, I'd be cool with that. I would love that. And I hate that I'm saying that out loud, because I know you guys, probably a lot of you are sick of this conversation completely. But I do think, though, that the NFL is just different than college. This is easier to talk about, I think, than when people bring up the Florida crap, which I'm not entertaining this season, guys. Unless Ross Dellinger is like, this is possible, we're not going to address Florida moving forward. You guys know how I feel about that. One, I'm not even totally convinced that they're firing Napier anyway. I think that there's a chance that Florida overachieves relative to what people think that they're going to be. I don't think they're making the playoff. I don't think they're winning eight games. But considering how recruiting is going, and I think they're going to be pretty salty on defense, frankly. Got pretty decent quarterback play. I just, when you look at this schedule, if they go 7-5, I don't think he's getting fired. Now, it's a tough ask to get there based on what people think that they are, but I'm not totally convinced it's coming open anyway, but we're not doing that. Talking about the NFL is a little bit different, I think. Brian Kelly, the most Southern coach you know, he may also be Irish, just not sure anymore. Yeah, brought out the Irish accent today. Shane Beamer acknowledged that nobody thinks that his team is going to win this season. Even said, like, hey, I know you're going to pick us 14th, 15th, or 16th, but, you know, I actually like my team, and you don't have to believe me, but I do. I appreciate the honesty, but that as a South Carolina fan, it's like, damn, that's got to be tough to hear. I don't know if, but the thing is, almost every program in the SEC is a good coach and an organized collective away from being a championship contender. Look at Missouri, look at Ole Miss. South Carolina should be so much better than they have been. I mean, that program should certainly be a lot better. And they're not. And there's a chance that Ole Miss hands them their third loss. Gosh, what weekend is that? I mean, they would be, what, 2-3 after the Ole Miss game, possibly? You know, it's very slow in here. I can't believe this connection's been as good as it is. Let's see. South Carolina, they could be on October 5th, they could have three losses. They could be 2-3 on October 5th. That's not acceptable, or at least it shouldn't be. What Dallas Bars after this? The bed. That is where I'm going after this. I'm going to bed. I am going to bed. It's been, I'm ready to go to bed. Beamer had a manifesto today. His opening speech was 17 minutes. Yeah, Hugh Freeze is the only one that rivaled whatever the hell that was today. Hugh Freeze did the filibuster right before he resigned. 17 minutes without taking a question is nuts, is absolutely nuts in this setting. It's a long time to go 17 minutes, but 16th will be Vanderbilt. Yep. If I had to guess what it will be, this isn't mine yet. I haven't submitted mine, but my guess is that it'll be Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Arkansas, South Carolina, Florida. I think that will be the bottom of the league. I think it'll be Alabama. No, excuse me. It'll be Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss or Alabama, Missouri, Tennessee. I think. Feels like he won't be there much longer. Wouldn't be surprised at all if South Carolina is looking for a new coach. Would not be surprised at not at all. Not at all. So appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here on a Monday, even though we don't usually go on Monday. Thanks for, if you listen to the radio show, thank you. And I'm going to be posting on here throughout the week, more interviews and stuff like that. So I appreciate you. Reese's or Snickers? Reese's. Reese's. What are my goals for this football season? My goals. Or are you talking about what should Ole Miss's goals be? Mine is, let's see, we've got 1,700 subscribers on YouTube. I would like to get that to 4,000 before the season ends. And I think it can be done. Pretty upward trajectory, especially after we changed the format to Ole Miss only. Things are looking up. So that's probably it. I think that. Go to more games. And do this live after games for sure. So anyway, that you think Ole Miss will be third? I do too. Third or fourth. But man, people around here are really, really high on Ole Miss. Almost to the point where it makes you question yourself hearing everybody else have the same take as you. But yeah, I will be at the Georgia Southern game because I'm taking my son to his first football game. I know he's been to a high school football game, but he was younger. He didn't know what was going on. He still won't really know what's going on, but taking him to a night game, one, just weather, but like the lights and all that stuff, just that'll probably keep him engaged longer. So definitely going to that one. But the rest of them, I'll do it like in a work coverage capacity. I get so much more done at home, though. I really do. So that's the only downside, is I can do so much more for you if I'm at the house as opposed to in a press box, like having to deal with all that stuff. So we'll see. I don't know. Anyway, thank you guys. Be on the lookout. I'll upload Trey Harris tomorrow, and then we'll go from there. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, as always. And I'll see you. You'll see me tomorrow. You all have a good night. Enjoy the rest of media days, and I'll see you tomorrow.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.